Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Love it. America, we are back.
Like we never left.
Little vacation, but... But it's all good.
We took a week off, America.
And we definitely feel it, too. But for all that don't know, today, of course, is Monday, July the 18th. We're having a great time. Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am, as always, your host, but I'm joined by my fellow co-hosts. Without any further, I don't want to introduce them. I'm obviously Andre. Kick it to my man. I'm going to start with JQ, as always. He's coming back from his little vacation. San Diego, hope you welcome them with open arms. JQ, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I flew to L.A. first. We got a college Dodgers game, and then went to San Diego for the All-Star festivities. It was an awesome, awesome time. Had a great time.
You thinking about moving out to San Diego anytime soon?
No, because I know that it's very pricey out there. It was great to go visit.
Oh, man, come on. That's pocket change for you. That's pocket change for you, man.
I'm not listening to nothing y'all talking about.
that kind of money, man. You just hear that? That's just change in your pocket, man. That's all.
Yeah. Gonna be changing my daughter's savings accounts.
That other majestic voice you're hearing is none other than Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, Robert Ford? How you?
Man, couldn't be better. Ready to talk some sports. Glad we're back on the air. We took a little break last week, but now let's get back to work.
I feel like too, because Rob pretty much loaded up with a lot of topics, and as he mentioned, we're going to jump right into it. But as always, and first and foremost, I want to throw out some numbers. If you want to call out, reach out to your boys. That number, as always, it's the 424-243-9519. That is our direct line. Whenever hit us up. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. If you go to Twitter, it's at the number 12. THMAN Sports, and then as I mentioned on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, let's kick this off. A lot of things have been happening, and I guess Robert likes to make jokes. Talking about right off the bat, we're going to talk about Johnny Manziel here. He said he's doing well. But he's not going to quit drinking. So, Rob, what's going on, sir?
Yeah, you know, he's been hanging around JQ too long, and, you know.
Hey, hold on, bro.
He's a bad influence, but obviously, you know, on a serious note here, obviously Manziel, the green light or the – it just hasn't turned on, of course, upstairs with him, unfortunately. And I don't know. He hasn't learned his lesson yet, of course. I mean, his NFL career, I'll be shocked if we are not wishing anything bad on him, but I'll be shocked if he ever plays a game in the NFL again for the rest of his life. And it seems like his family's tried to help him. Players have tried to help him. General managers and coaches have tried to help him. But nothing seems to be clicking. Unfortunately, this is just a straight up sad story. And I know Andre is infatuated with Manziel, so I had to throw him some love and include him in the show topics on tonight. But, yeah, you know, all you can do is you hope for the best and pray for the guy. But it's just very sad how things have just transpired in his life.
I'm going to come back to me, JQ, but I'm going to let you get your thing here since Rob's kind of firing on cylinders tonight.
Well, if you remember, there's been some weeks and weeks we talked about Manziel, and I said even before we could talk about him with football that he had to get a life coach and he just had to get better at life. And I don't think anything has changed for him. When you put out that kind of release to your publicist, first of all, it's through a publicist. You got to come out directly from Johnny. It can't be through a publicist at this point. And then beyond that, you know, I'm gonna have some fun. I'm not giving up on drinking yet. Okay, you totally missed the boat. It's time just to at some point reevaluate life. And I agree with you, Rob. I don't think he ever gets back to the NFL. I truly don't. I don't think he gets back. His priorities are messed up. And until he figures those out, you know, he was already going uphill being a smaller quarterback. But until he gets those priorities figured out, you know, I can't see it happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the sad thing about this, you know, Andre and I did some draft coverage a few years ago on Manziel. And I didn't project him to be an NFL quarterback. But now when you have the limitations, as you just mentioned, JQ, it didn't go along with his behavior. I mean, there's no chance whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a sad story because I know we were definitely going back as far as – I do remember that draft coverage too, Rob, because we were trying to figure out who was going to last longer in the league between him and I think it was the same draft. And please forgive me, Rob. I know we were kind of going back and forth a couple of quarterbacks too and just flipping my mind. But we were kind of on the gauge at we didn't think that – we thought he was kind of immature. We hoped that he was going to get mature getting in camp, but it just – as you can see, it's been kind of a downfall from that too. So unless some major drastic changes happen right now, I think it's going to be tough for him to make it back. But that's enough about that. America, that's a joke. I'm not infatuated with Manziel at all. You know, that's just something, I know I make jokes about that. Just wanted to throw that out there, clear the air. As well, and I'll send a note to my publicist about what to talk about next week as far as the topic as well.
Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel is Andre's
boy.
Goodness. Just so y'all know,
oh my goodness.
JQ, no, I didn't say anything about Tim Tebow. Now, notice who brought that up, Robert Ford. I do got to say Tim Tebow. He was actually in the midst of he was doing some work down here. I had a chance to DJ for him for a particular event. We'll talk about it later on. Anyway. Shout out to you, Tim Tebow. See, it writes the story for me. I don't have to say anything. You bring it up for me. So, anyway, that's what it's all about. We are so excited, guys. I know about 10 days or so for a couple of camps, especially for the Falcons camp. So we are obviously in NFL mode, sort of. We do want to kind of wrap a couple things, and I do want to talk about a big retirement as well. But forget that. Let's talk about Arian Foster here. And I'm going to kick us off with you, JQ, I guess. This is a pretty interesting signing that he got signed with the Dolphins here. Do you think he can help the Dolphins? Is it a little too late? What are your thoughts about Arian Foster? This is a big name for the Dolphins.
I just chuckle because they could just save us some time and just trade Lamar Miller for Arian Foster straight up, right? They just exchange teams.
<Yeah. laughs>
But I think for the Dolphins, I think it's a low-risk, high-reward signing. He's going to have a lot to try to prove that he can battle through and make a whole 16-game year season, and you only signed it for 1 year. You're looking at the pick, John Jay, he hasn't really lived up to his billing, but they did get Drake from Alabama, but I'm not sure if he's not still cutting all that T.J. Yeldon mode where he might be more or less served as a change-of-pace third down back. So I think you kick the tires on Arian Foster, see what happens. I mean, and, you know, you can part ways during the season, after the season, depending on how much of it is guaranteed. It's only for a year. So, for me, for Miami, it's a win. And if not, I guess you go back to the drawing board and you can get a running back. It's not like trying to get a quarterback. You know, if it doesn't work out, they can go in next year's draft and get a running back. Or they can see what Drake has and try to make him a every down back, but I just don't think that's what he is.
Gotcha. Hold on for that, too, Rob. Before I get you to, we got a quick caller here. Let's bring him on the show. Hello, caller. Tell us your name, and welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Hey, what's going on? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Hey, Bryce from Brooklyn. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Thanks. Since you're talking a little football, I know you said the camps are opening up. One of the camps that's going to be opening up is my Pittsburgh Steelers. So I wanted
to... Oh, wait a minute.
I wanted to... What? I guess someone's not a fan, right?
We got an avid Cincinnati Bengals fan as one of our hosts here.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say somebody hit the end call on his line on the computer. No, I'm just messing with you, Bryce. It's all
you know,
good,
it's
man.
Funny. It's funny you bring this up because I was about to ask what you guys thought of the Steelers draft. Since it was all laid out for us to get W. WJ the Third until we got trolled. So, you know, we went with Artie Burns. I wanted to know what you guys thought.
Go for it, Rob. You're the draft guru.
Well, I really thought they reached on Artie Burns. I know he's got terrific speed. He's got a lot of potential, but I thought it was a second-round grade. So I really thought they'd reach for him this year. But, you know, he still has potential to be a really good player. And like I said, they went off of his athletic ability, and maybe Mike Tomlin thinks he can turn him into an elite corner. But I really thought they'd reach for him in the draft, and I thought he was a second-round player that they could have waited for or traded back to get in on Artie Burns. But I still think he will grow into being the a starting corner in the NFL. I just thought he could have got him in the second round. Shawn Davis as well, the second-round pick, safety from Maryland. I thought they reached on him a little bit as well. I'll tell you a guy that I like is the third-round pick, Javon Hargrove. I think he's a sleeper.
Yes.
Defensive tackle from South Carolina State. I think he can be a really good player for them, a really good steal. And, of course, the fourth-round pick, Gerald Hawkins, offensive tackle from LSU, a guy I'm really familiar with. I think he's a solid pick as well for them. I just think the first two picks were reaches, but I like their third and fourth round pick. I think they got good value with those picks. But Burns, well, like I said, will be a starter. I just thought they should have got him in the second round.
Nice. Yeah,
right,
I thought. Yeah, I mean, no. I think that's a fair assessment. I had Burns kind of rated like everyone else as a top five corner in the draft. I thought he was number five, clearly, though. I was thinking if it came down to Burns and Joseph, the safety, they would take Joseph, which I would be fine. But, man, Joseph went like 14th. And so I'm like, well, if ain't no more, you know, Jackson's gone and Burns is, I mean, and Joseph's gone, Burns is the next best option to take the best player at the position of need you have. So I wasn't mad at it. I like Shawn Davis. I think he's very productive in college. The fact that he played corner in a pinch, he wasn't great at it, but I think that means he's very safety capable because he's got coverage ability. So I like that pick as well. And you're right, Hargrave, I think, could be a beast.
Yeah, Davis is a sure tackler, too. So that's one thing that will help you from that safety position. He's definitely a sure tackler, but I think if you're the Steelers, the guy you passed on in the second round was Von Bell from Ohio State, and I had Bell rated higher than Shawn Davis. So that was, I mean, Bell is more of a cover safety, and but I would have liked the Steelers, even though my Saints, you know, I'm happy about that, but I think Bell would have been the better pick for the Steelers right there. And I know the Steelers really liked William Jackson. The Bengals took him one pick before the Steelers. And maybe that's,
why
the Steelers. Yeah. And maybe that's why the Steelers gambled and reached for Artie Burns there. But
right.
I know they were really high on William Jackson, but the Bengals took him one pick ahead.
It's Zimmer, man. He took Treadwell. We wanted Treadwell, and it was a domino effect. He took Treadwell, we took Jackson, and then, you know, they left them with Burns. I really like the Hargrave pick. I wanted the Bengals to get him in the third round. I was really pissed that they didn't take him. Yeah, I took him right behind us. I said, come on. God,
well, I mean, I think the Billings pick was a good pick for you. And look, as a Pittsburgh guy, man, I didn't want to see you get Tyler Boyd. I like Tyler Boyd. Brings a lot of versatility.
Yeah.
He brings a lot of versatility. I mean, look, I'm never happy if the Bengals pick any player that could possibly be good. So, you know, but particularly with Tyler Boyd, I like that guy. Tyler Boyd's a good pick.
That's what's
up. And Hargrove, I tell you, this guy's got nimble feet, man. He's north of 300 pounds, and he's got really good feet. You know, he played basketball, too. I'm sure they helped him with his feet and his athletic ability. You know, I think, like I said, I think he could be a real steal for this Bengal team. He'll probably play defensive end in that 3-4 for the Steelers.
Yeah, he's going to be a problem for us.
Yeah, you know what, too? I think, too, with Von Bell, you bring up a good point. I think what it came down to was they liked Shawn Davis's – he had the speed, but like his size. I think maybe they wanted someone that could match up a little bit better with the bigger tight ends and still play the run. You know, Shawn Davis is a legit 6'1", whereas Von Bell, I think, is more of a 5'10 type guy. So I think they – ultimately, they got, you know, they liked his production, but also his size.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's definitely a valid point. Von Bell is more of a true free safety, where I think or Davis can probably play either safety position and probably be more productive at the strong safety position in the NFL.
Yeah, which tells me a lot about Mike Mitchell. I thought Mike Mitchell may move to the strong, but when you don't draft Von Bell as more of that room or coverage guy, then that means that you see Mike Mitchell, still see Mike Mitchell as the free, and they're going to use Sean Davis around the line and maybe back him up a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sean Davis is a little bit more physical than Von Bell. Like I said, he's a sure tackler, and Von Bell, like I said, is more of a really solid cover safety.
Right.
That's what's up, Bryce. So before we let you go, sir, I know it was good for JQ to, like, actually kind of hold his water here because obviously Bengals and the Steelers here. But, yeah, it's all good. But, Bryce, really quickly, tell us a little bit, I mean, your thoughts about the Steelers going into the season. I know you're probably a little bit disappointed, but what do you think about the season? And obviously, hopefully, you know, Bell's getting ready and stuff like that, too. So tell us about your squad and anything you want to talk about as far as the Steelers before we get ready to let you go, sir.
Well, let me tell you, man, I'm actually really excited about this year. And I think a lot of the picks, Pittsburgh was very preemptive. I think they knew about Martavis. And so to offset that, if you can't get another guy at receiver, you got guys already in-house you can use. So with Heath Miller leaving, you're bringing Ladarius Green, who I think, you know, you can spread around in terms of touches. I think you're going to get a healthy Le'Veon Bell back with D'Angelo Williams.
Yep.
Fitzgerald Toussaint showed that he can play. So I like our stable of backs. Marquise Pouncey coming back. Oh, I think this is a team that can contend for a Super Bowl. I'm very excited about what they can do. At the end of the day, we have the quarterback, who's the top three guys. So he's, you know, as long as we got him, we'll always be contending.
Well, I think Le'Veon Bell is the key when you're talking about the Steelers. If you got a healthy Le'Veon Bell to go with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, you have yourself a potent offense there. And so, I mean, obviously, you lose your receiver for a year, and that kind of hurts. Your number two guy. So that's going to be something you really have to replace. But Le'Veon Bell is the key. If he's healthy, I mean, that offense, it will be tough to stop this year.
If you don't replace all of the touches for Martavis, but what you do is you spread it around to Coates coming into his own, to Wheaton. You spread it around to Bell, to Williams, and to Green. And you hopefully able to make up for that. But, I like this team. Regardless of who we play in the division or what have you, I like this team. I like what we got.
Yeah, that's all right. We see you when Buffett get back.
Hey, Bryce, will you do us a favor?
Yeah, man.
Whether the Steelers win or lose against the Bengals, you got to call back to our show after both games this year.
Yo, I can do that. Actually, you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'll even put it out there. We were going through the schedule, and I was looking at what I think our record is, and I think in the division, we go 5-1, and I think we split with the Bengals this year. I think we get them in Pittsburgh. But I actually think they rise up, defend their home turf, and actually, you know, we're not going to go in there and sweep them again. I think they get us in Cincinnati. We split it.
I would agree with that.
I think we should
definitely call us
5-1 in the division.
After each game this season, and they may even meet in the playoffs too. So definitely after two regular
games. I would love that.
If they meet in the playoffs, you got
to
call us back.
I wanted the Heinz Field. I want to stop to see the Heinz Field. I'm all for that. So,
I would love to see the Bengals in the playoffs. I'm actually praying for that. I would love to see that.
I know
that.
You are. You got to be. As long as Marvin Lewis is the head coach. As long as Marvin Lewis is the head coach, you got to pray for that.
Let me ask you guys something real quick before you let me go. Do you feel, I mean, honestly, all joking aside, do you feel Marvin Lewis should still be coaching this team?
You have not called in enough. No, I do not. I think Marvin Lewis should have been fired 3 years ago. There's nowhere other in Cincinnati can you go 0-6 in the playoffs and keep getting contract extensions. That's the only place in the NFL you can do that at. So, yeah, don't get me started on
Jeff
that.
Fisher.
He should have been fired. And Jeff Fisher, he's the other one. Those two guys, I don't know how they have a job, bro. And that's pure 100% Bengals fan.
Pictures on somebody.
Man, it's hard to argue that. It's hard to argue that. It really is.
Yeah.
Bryce, I'll just say really quick, this is my last statement for you, man. I got to say
one
thing. Don't underestimate Marquise Pouncey, his impact on that team. I know that Antonio Brown's going nuts, but that's the key for your Steelers as well too, man, because Bell's coming back. Obviously, we talked about that, but I think that Marquise Pouncey, that's a huge – not that they didn't survive, but that's going to make a difference for that team too, man. So that's my little two-cent about that. I want to get that in, but you guys are having a great time too. Bryce, man, thank you for calling in, sir. Tell your friends about us, man. We appreciate you listening and all that fun stuff as well. Okay, sir?
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the love. All right, talk to you later.
Thank you, Bryce.
Talk soon, man. Appreciate that. Bryce was awesome, man. Appreciate him calling in.
Yeah.
That number is always – it's the 424-243-9519. I love the fact that we have like an in division rival calling in, talking a lot of junk. And JQ was pretty good about that too, man. So that is
hey, man, you
got to
be a host. You got to put your host hat on and take a fan hat off sometimes. But you know, he knows his team, and I think he's right. 5-1 with a split with the Bengals is doable, given that you got all the injuries in Baltimore and Cleveland is still Cleveland in football. I mean, they could sweep those two. The Bengals could sweep those two. I mean, I could see that happening. You know, I mean, depending on what happens with Baltimore and Smith and Flacco, but they're not crazy strong, even though they had a good draft. But it's doable. They're still younger with those picks.
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces.
Two things.
Yes. Go ahead, Eva.
Two things. We basically just did a Pittsburgh Steelers preview.
Yeah,
not
right?
Have to do that before the season. So thanks a lot for that, Bryce. So we killed that. And the second thing, we talked about Cleveland in the division. You know, there was 1.3 million people at that Cavaliers championship parade in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
And they can't find that one person to play quarterback out of that 1.3 million people.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
I hope they don't ever find nobody.
Oh, man.
That was a shock.
Thanks, Bryce,
Cleveland
if you're still listening, thanks a lot for the call. Make sure you stay in touch with us. Spread the word. And hold up to your bargain here. Make sure you call us after the Bengals and Steelers games this year. Win or lose.
That's what's up. I'm going to be here. I'm about to hear that they lose.
All the time, me and Rob go at it too. Really quick, man. So, Rob, talk about Arian Foster to the Dolphins real quick. I know we got about 9-8 minutes or so left in the show too, so talk about that as well, sir.
Well, this is just one of those kind of things you want to see what he has left in the tank. And so, I mean, obviously, I pretty much agree with what JQ said here. It's one of those kind of deals where you just want to see if there's any way you can help us. When he was healthy, obviously had a great career. He's been injury prone here the last couple of years. So they're just trying to see if they can squeeze a little bit more juice out of him before he, you know, goes off in the sunset and retires, is done with football. My prediction will be he won't have a huge impact. But I think if you're the Dolphins, you just got to see what he has left in the tank. I mean, he had nothing to lose.
You think it's a lot like Frank Gore going to Indianapolis, kind of that kind of level of production?
Yes, wow. Exactly. And we didn't see much out of Frank Gore. You know, these running backs start getting that 3-0, or they get to that 30 mark. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast, all the pounding that they've taken. You got to think about most of these guys been playing, running the football since they were little, going through high school and college. I mean, they're taking a lot of pounding on their bodies. And, I mean, there's only a few great ones that have really gone past 30 and really they had that kind of, you know, a serious production. It's really hard this day and age.
Yes, it is.
Good call. All right. Let's talk about Charles Tillman. He announced his retirement. Classy guy, you know, top player, fit that to Bears defense, kind of one of those guys. You just knew he kind of fit what the Bears looking for. You want to talk about this really quickly, JQ, about the, you know, the impact that Charles Tillman had, sir?
Yeah, and even outside of that, off the field, I think he was always in the running for the Walter Payton of the Year Award. He was a standout guy in the community as well, which is why I want to applaud him on, even outside of his, you know, his football prowess. So yeah, that kind of went underrated. But Peanut was he was in his own right a shutdown corner there that kind of flew under the radar, and then he started to get to the top of the radar, and then he got hurt. So, but yeah, for what he did on the field, and more importantly, what he did off the field, you know, the NFL is. Is missing a good one. I hope they find a way to keep him involved with the league offices and the outreach programs and whatnot, because he's a stellar guy in the community.
Same question, Rob.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Of course, a great guy. Guy's got some ties to Louisiana. He's done a lot for the NFL community and everywhere he's been throughout his life. So he's really gone back to contribute to all of these different communities. And as you mentioned, too, and you talk about the age of 30, Tillman's contributed to the Bears and the Panthers well into his 30s. So he had a nice career, a long career. I think he made it to 2 or 3 Pro Bowls. So he had a really solid, productive career. And once again, great guy as well. Congratulations.
Let's get this in quick. Yep. Let's get this in quick, about 5 minutes. I want to talk really briefly about your boy, Rob, Eddie Lacy. He's doing P90X before training camp. Really quick, talk about that, sir.
You know, I thought this kind of, you know, P90X, I mean, that's a workout that I've done before. I'm thinking, man, you got your own personal trainer and, you know, you doing something on a whole nother level than P90X. So I was kind of, I thought that was kind of funny.
Rob, he ordered the set too, just like you, Rob. He ordered the set just like you did, Rob. He ordered it right
off. She was never 280 pounds, you know, running out of gas, going down the middle of the field wide open, praying for somebody to tackle you. That dude had to start somewhere, Rob. That's what I'm saying. He had to start right there. Now, he can probably get more advanced now that he's actually
He's an NFL player. He needs to have a personal trainer in the offseason. Getting him to that level, not P90X.
He was like 265.
P90X is a turf put on the video kind of workout.
Did you see him play last year? Did you see him run out of gas at the 20-yard line?
Yes.
That dude was in bad shape, bro.
He was in very bad shape.
Maybe the 90X is just the first step to him stepping it up, is what I'm saying. He had to start the ground floor.
Training camp starts in about 10 days, right? He should be way beyond P90X. He's in trouble.
That's Rob's boy right there, P90X, ordering him online. Let's talk about JQ's boy, Tom Brady. I know he's
oh, my gosh.
Good news. He's going to end the Deflategate legal battle, and he's going to actually serve. What? There you go, JQ.
Yeah, but he's not really, though, because he told the union that they could keep arguing the case for him. So it's like, he's doing it, but not really. He's still letting them fight, like, underneath the scenes. But once, you know, if the Supreme Court takes that case with everything else we have going on in this country, it's going to be a whole lot of mad people. I think it was time for them just to back away and say, please, let's not be another riot in all the foolishness we already have going on, because I would be part of that riot. There's no reason we should Tom Brady's appeal at the Supreme Court, given the climate of what's going on in our world today. I was like, really? That's what we're going to talk about, given everything else that's happening? So, yeah, it's time for him just to go ahead and take his medicine. I know Goodell was somewhat wrong for 4 games for that, but it is what it is. You agreed to the CBA. You gave him all that power. Now he's using that power. Don't do that in the next CBA, players.
Very true. Well, you know, hopefully, like I said, it's pretty much hopefully it's over, and they're ready to move on. Roger Goodell finally wins a case. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of his, but he finally wins the case. And
we didn't get that, Rob. What were we talking about, bro?
Yeah. Well, you know, my nickname for him is Hitler. So, you know, Hitler finally wins the case here. He finally got his
day.
And
kind of rough.
I think Andre's been hearing me call him Hitler for years.
Oh my gosh!
I know. We're going off the chain today. Oh, man. Go ahead, Rob. Finish it up, man. Oh, America, send your emails to robertford@12minutesports.com. No, that's a great call. We're going to set up the OT portion, but before we do that, obviously, everyone, we got a lot of things to still talk about. I know there's a special if you guys get a chance to listen to us. We got to talk about Tim Duncan. What a great player. I'm excited to hear your thoughts about that, gentlemen. But, Rob, you got about a minute, 30 seconds to kick into the OT portion, and we'll get ready to keep it going with our Talking Sports Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for tuning in to our show tonight. We'll be back on the air on next week. How does Tuesday sound for you guys next week, gentlemen?
That should be cool.
Yeah, works for me so far. Yep.
All right. So I think we're all in agreement. We're going to be on Tuesday night on next week. I believe that is the 26th. Next week, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. for our friends in California. And that will be 5 p.m. for our friends in Hawaii. Aloha. Make sure you tune in on next week. We still got some great things to talk about in our OT portion. Tim Duncan, Kevin Durant. We got some NBA talk going into our OT portion. Click on this same link on tomorrow. You get to hear our thoughts going into the NBA. Good night, people.
The rest of the show is yours, JQ. Yep.
I just want to thank the West Coast for treating me so great. I had a good time. Can't wait to get back out there. Stay classy, San Diego. Everybody, thank you for listening. Shout out to you, Bryce. You know you're rooting for the wrong team. Thank you for calling in. Download the podcast. Holler at you guys next week.
Brooklyn in the house.
I know, without
what,
a doubt.
What? That's what's up. We didn't have to figure out how. Didn't figure out how he was definitely in Brooklyn yet. He's a Steelers fan, so we got to talk about that as well, man. But that's a great call. So, Bryce, whenever you call in, love to hear about that story too. So, gentlemen, we are officially into the OT portion of the show. And, man, we had a lot of things to talk about. And let's first and foremost start off. I know, Robbie, want to talk about Anderson Barishaw. He's refusing that championship ring from the Lakers. Or, excuse me, not the Lakers. Man, that was a little sporty. So, the Cavaliers. I was thinking about you, JQ, about that.
Let me have one.
I think.
He wished the Lakers was winning the title this past year.
Who are you telling, Rob?
He's got enough. He's got six of them. But Anderson, this is interesting. This could be two parts, guys. If I can kind of take the lead, I think that that Anderson believes that they're probably going to get one coming up, which is why, yeah, I don't need your ring. I'm with a new team. So that's kind of where I think it's coming from. But I'd love to hear your thoughts, JQ, about that first and foremost, about this particular statement that he's trying to make right about now.
Yeah, but he can't. He can't do that, right? Like, I mean, I understand that you played 31 games for them, and yes, you probably contributed to some of the karma or whatever in the locker room. But when the push came to shove, you were playing against that team in the finals, and they beat you. You can't then take the ring and then come back in the locker room as a sign of the one-year deal and walk around the Warriors' locker room with the Cleveland championship ring on. You can't do that. You know, you can't do it. I think he made the right call. I think they would have clowned me forever for taking that ring. Go get your ring with the team that you was in the finals with. Don't go take it from somewhere else and then bring it around that dumb group of guys. That's crazy talk. Good for you, Andy. Mm.
Rob.
I totally agree. I mean, you cannot take that ring losing to the team in the finals, being on the opposite team in the finals. I mean, maybe if your team, you got traded toward the end of the year, your team didn't make the playoffs, maybe then you can accept that ring, but you cannot accept that ring where you competed against the team in the finals. You just cannot accept that ring. If he would have accepted that ring, Charlemagne would have had him as a donkey of the day the very next day on his radio show.
Donkey of the week.
Yes, of the week.
I love it. I love it. So I agree with you guys, both of you guys. So moving forward, you know, Kevin Durant, kind of like a good segue. We know about his decision and everything. So clearly, I think he did everything right, and that's all you can say. I mean, he basically gave the time. You know, maybe he released it. You know, July 4th is not the best day to do that, but because that's what everyone's talking about. But he did everything right. Did the nice letter, and he still got the response from the fans. And I think it's kind of a situation that he was like he was hurt, and I can factor into that, but It's kind of tough because no matter what he did, it still would have been kind of upset. Even if he left for the Spurs, the Warriors, I don't know if it could have been less, but him leaving still hurt. And my father-in-law, shout out to my dad, gave a great point in that you got to remember whenever OKC was moved from Seattle, the Seattle fans were fully supportive of what happened. They could have been really pissed off. But no, they became like, hey, we were so happy about what happened because obviously that was a sneak move how he moved them from Seattle to OKC. So OKC, y'all shouldn't be too upset about happening because you guys got the team kind of in a distinct fashion anyway. So that's my two cents. But Rob, what do you think about Kevin Durant and his comments about being heard about OKC's reactions to that, the fans?
Well, I mean, I think Kevin Durant needs to, you know, get a reality check here. I mean, what did he think the fans were going to – he think they were going to be
right.
A standing ovation? I mean, come on, get real. First of all, you've been with OKC since the first year the team was in Oklahoma City. I mean, you're like their golden child. I mean, what do you expect, Kevin Durant? These people are not going to stand up there. Now, he had the right – he's a free agent. He had the right to go wherever he wanted to be. But at the same time, you cannot expect them to be ecstatic about you moving on when you were on a possible – I mean, well, you were very close to possibly winning the championship on that very team if you'd have stayed there in Oklahoma City. And it went out and got Victor Oladipo, had a chance to continue to grow as a team, had a very good chance of moving past Golden State on next season. And like I said, you've been on that team since the first year they moved to Oklahoma City. there's no way you could expect that those fans to give you a standing ovation and throw a party for you, a sending away, a going away party when you leave in town. Get real, Kevin Durant.
JQ, go ahead. Man,
it took everything I was going to say. I was like, really? What did you think they was going to do? In response to your question, you got to do it on July 5th. Because everybody else has already had the fireworks, they've been drinking. You got to do it on the 5th when everybody's sleeping, and you might slide in a little bit better. But I totally agree, and it made me think of that, because I can't add any more of what Rob said, because that was my whole argument. But don't you think that the NBA needs some kind of version of a franchise tag or a transition tag? Because they just, I don't know if you're going to keep being able to do this to these small cities and keep the competitive balance where it needs to be. I mean, Oklahoma City, by all means, tried to do everything they could to keep them there, surrounding them, traded for other better players, signed them. I mean, outside of the Harden deal, you can quibble with, but, I mean, he still had a good team. They're trying, and he still left, and they're left with nothing. Because at this point, now you're looking back saying, dang, we should have traded him before the deadline. It's like, really, you're going to trade Kevin Durant? Wait. Hindsight being 2020, I guess they should have, because he was walking anyway. I think he might have known even then, to be quite honest. So, yeah, come on, KD. But, I mean, get like Rob said, you need a reality check, bro. The word for the day is delusional. You were delusional if you thought they weren't going to be mad at you for leaving. So, buck up, move on.
Absolutely.
Very, very succinctly put right there, man. So I mean, like,
hey,
I said,
Cleveland burned LeBron James' their jerseys, and he's from Ohio when he left to go to Miami. So Kevin Durant, I'm sure you saw that.
You had no chance, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this kind of is what it is. But like I said, KD, we're still fans, obviously, but it's kind of tough how they did. No matter what would have happened with that, too, I agree with you guys' both statements about that, too. I want to save a little bit of time, gentlemen, because we have about 8 minutes here. And I want to talk really quickly about Tim Duncan. I know that Shaq said a statement that Tim Duncan shouldn't be considered a big man. Rob, I'm going to need you to clarify this in a quick second. But I just have to say, and this is not a knock on your Lakers, JQ. You know where I'm going with this. But I think it's interesting that, you know, obviously, it's not a knock. It's not a knock. You know, Kobe had his tour, and, you know, and which is fine. He was, you know, whatever. Tim Duncan didn't have that. He was kind of like, you know what, I'm going to retire. And after the season was over, and this guy, that's just kind of just an epitome of this guy's career. I mean, you talk about unassuming. He was a swimmer first, and the reason why he wasn't even considering playing basketball because Hurricane Hugo, like, messed up his, you know, when he was at the Virgin Islands. So that's how he ended up taking basketball. Stayed for 4 years at Wake Forest, was just like a great, great player, dominant player, big fundamental, wasn't flashy. If he was in a different market, I don't know if he would have been even the same player. I mean, they probably would have tried to, like, most him up, but just a all around, just a great guy, and, you know, obviously we know about him. He's going to be a Hall of Fame great player. There's not enough superlative to talk about how great this guy is, man. So just, like I said, hats off, and just to a great career. Like I said, just difference in as far as between him and Kobe and everything like that, but just amazing from that perspective too. So, Rob, I know you can talk about Tim Duncan and also Shaq's statement as well, and I'll let you jump on right after that too, JQ. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, I've always been a Tim Duncan fan, and he's always put his team first, and he always received coaching from one of the best in Greg Popovich. And, I mean, obviously a five-time champion. I believe he's a two-time MVP. He's a three-time NBA Finals MVP, 15-time All-Star, incredible career. I believe in my era of watching basketball, he's the third-best player in NBA. In my era of watching basketball, obviously I can't comment on the guys that played before the time I watched. But I only rank Jordan and Magic Johnson ahead of them as far as the greats in my era of watching basketball. So a tremendous career, very unassuming guy. He's a guy that's probably won't even show up for his Hall of Fame induction. And so, I mean... he didn't show up for his going away press conference.
Yeah, but that's a little different.
I mean, Greg Popovich had to do his retirement press conference. Tim Duncan was nowhere to be found. So, very unassuming guy. Obviously, a guy who never really liked the limelight, but, you know, very, you know, you can't knock. Definitely the greatest power forward in NBA history. To clarify what Shaq was saying that if you're power, he think only centers should be considered big men, not guys that have played power forwards. So Okay. It probably came across a little misleading, but he was not trying to knock Tim Duncan's career. But he was saying he shouldn't be considered a big man because he didn't play the center position, even though he did at times. But most of his career, he was a power forward. He was a four.
JQ?
Yeah, Shaq just be talking. Okay, so yeah, I can disagree with some of that. I'm not going to argue with Rob about who the third best in our prime is because I let Roderick do all that for me on Facebook. but, you know, I'm going to take it off the ropes a little bit. I think, you know, Tim Duncan does a lot of unassuming because I think he just likes to do his dirt, like, in the shade. Like, everybody else wants to be out there and still do their dirt and they get caught up. Like, I think Tim was like, you know what, I'm just going to play the wall and do what I do. Ain't nobody going to talk about me because all these other fools is out here being crazy. You know, I do. I don't really have no evidence of that, but I just do. Something is nagging me, like, you know, that dude is not as clear cut as he wants you to think he is. Like, he gets it in, but he's so quiet about it, and, you know, and you just don't talk about it. So, you know, but you got to take your hats off.
Oh, it's a Laker fan hating on the Spurs.
I'm not hating on him. You didn't hear what I said. That dude is legendary. I mean, you can't knock what he did on the court. There's no denying it. I mean, just put it on the tape, you know, like, so you can't take that away from him. That's why I was taking off the rails for a second because you threw out all the stats. You can't take away what the dude did on the court. He was fabulous. I'm just talking about, you know, the whole quiet, unassuming, you know, choir boy kind of image. It's like, I don't know if it's quite to that level. I mean,
we never said he was a choir boy. We were saying he's one of the greatest players. I think what Rob was saying was that, you know, this guy is just, he's been doing it. And, I mean,
not
he hasn't been asking for all kinds of attention. But I get you. But I'm with you. I'm with you, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, they kind of hold him up as the pedestal as how to do it the right way. You know, he's unassuming. He don't like the spotlight. That kind of choir boy. Not choir boy isn't like he don't do anything wrong at any point in his life.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
He's just not an attention guy. You know, he's knock with Kobe. Obviously, you know, he got the, you know, going away tour this year. Duncan's just not that guy. And that's all we're, you know, he's one of those guys that just like to be laid back. And that's the point I was trying to make. He might not even show up for his Hall of Fame induction, you know.
Yeah.
He might be sitting at home somewhere or fishing or swimming while the Hall of Fame is going on.
Yeah, he'd be sitting at home with a whole chili in the squad and a bottle of tequila watching, like, yeah, let's get it in, shot.
Oh, my gosh. He is taking
some guacamole.
He's taking some guacamole.
Come on, bro. I'm not guacamole.
Down in Texas.
Oh, man. It's been a fun show. I'm telling you, man. It feels like we've been off for a week, but I feel like we haven't been gone, man. We're just right into it.
Not at all.
We got about 3 minutes. We got about 3 minutes. So if I could, you got about 30 seconds apiece to talk about the Warriors and their 15, 20 million jersey advertising. Talk about it real quickly, and we got to get ready to the show. But 30 seconds, Rob. Go ahead, man.
Well, really quick, the NBA is going to be doing similar to what the European soccer teams do when they have advertisers on the jersey. So the NBA is going to be going to that. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's next season. It might be the year following, or it might be next season. So the Warriors are asking for a sponsor for about $15 to $20 million. So that'll be interesting going forward in the NBA to start seeing these ads on the jerseys.
Chase, are you going to talk about that?
Straight cash, homie. That's all it is. Money grab. Straight cash. That's how I'm paying my fine.
There it is.
How you going to pay for it?
Straight cash, homie.
Hey, Randy, you gotta pay the fine. Straight cash, homie. That'd be our quote, JQ, right there. That was our quote. All right, gentlemen, we're not going to have time. We got about 2 minutes. I'm going to let Rob in the show. Just real quick, free agency has slowed down, but nice Bucks. Nice with the Bucks getting Miles Plumlee. We signed him at 4 years at $52 million. Let us shout out that.
That's it.
Rob, go ahead and end the show. 2 minutes, and we'll do this thing. Go ahead, sir.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, next week we're back on air Tuesday night. That's Tuesday night. That's July 26th. Next week, at the end of the week, you'll be getting the NFL teams reporting for training camp. So we're getting close to hearing some pads popping, people. And get ready. We're going to be getting ready to really get tuned in into some SEC, some Big Ten, some Pac-12, and the Big Ten, even though it's got 14 teams, and the Big 12, even though it's got 10 teams. We're going to get into talking some football and some NFL, of course. So join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, for our friends in Germany, that's going to be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Make sure you tune in. Write us. Let us know what you think about the show, Facebook and Twitter. We'll be keeping you posted on what's happening in the sports world. Good night, people.
He's going to talk about us. They got a team in Columbia, Missouri, and one in College Station, Texas, talking about the SEC, the Southeastern Conference. Okay, but you're going to talk about us in our numbers. I'm going to talk about showing y'all geography. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening to the show. We'll catch you next Tuesday. Holler at
you. Well, you got one conference that don't know how to count, and you got another one that don't know geography.
Good night, America. Thanks for calling in. We'll see you guys same time.